In Mrs. Livelybrook's 7th and 8th grade science class, one-third of students' grades are based on independent projects. Danica Shepherd is standing in front of her Crow Middle School classmates. She's wearing a white lab coat that's a bit too big, and she's breaking spaghetti.
That one didn't work.
Danica is showing her class something she observed while, quote, messing around one day. When you hold the ends of a piece of spaghetti and bend it, it usually breaks into several different sized pieces instead of just two.
I guess the way I understand it is, like, if you bend it, the piece that is shorter doesn't flip back and break itself. It's the piece that is broken bigger.
When her explanation begins to flounder, teacher Lisa Livelybrook swoops in and ties it to plate tectonics.
And that's sort of like what happens when you have the plates of the earth that are pushing against each other, and they gather and gather a lot of bending strength until it gets to the point they can't withstand it anymore. Then they break apart from each other and move. And
this Livelybrooks is utilizing a teaching strategy called inquiry-based instruction, where teachers allow students to travel where their curiosity takes them.
In my mind, the gold standard is when a kid comes up with a question on their own that they are interested in learning about, self-generated, and they're passionate about it, and that they figure out and design an experiment that will give them maybe not the answer they thought they were going to get, but it will bring knowledge to the table, and likely knowledge that nobody else had.
With the middle schoolers in Crow, Livelybrooks is still in the process of building them up, holding their hands a bit, so that in the coming years, a purer form of self-directed inquiry will occur. A key is to engage kids with things they're already interested in.
The ones that go fishing and hunting, I'll say, okay, if you want to do a study of what was in the gizzard, what are you interested in? Can you figure out how to age these things with their horns or their bones? You mean that would count as a project? And I said, yes, you know, definitely.
As a teaching method, inquiry solves a problem that students in the U.S. often face, says Eastern Oregon University education professor Miriam Monk.
We in public schools often do the sit and get kind of instruction with kids. But then when we send them out into the big world, we expect them to be critical thinkers, solve problems, do all the things that inquiry requires, but we really haven't taught them how to be good inquirers.
Resourcefulness, creativity, innovation, persistence, risk-taking. These are all qualities that describe entrepreneurs, some of the most highly regarded people in the country. In the most harrowing days of the current recession, President Barack Obama said entrepreneurs would be key to helping the economy recover. Inquiry education cultivates these same entrepreneurial qualities in students. And according to Professor Monk, teaching inquiry lessens the disconnect between what happens in schools and what happens in the world. While inquiry-based instruction opens students up to near limitless possibilities for learning, teachers often encounter an obstacle in using it in the classroom: assessment. Currently, almost all statewide achievement testing is done via multiple choice that can be graded by computers in a matter of seconds. Jill Baxter, an education professor at the U of O, says the Oregon Department of Education has developed ways to measure student progress from inquiry-based lessons, but they're time-consuming and expensive.
If we're asking kids to do a science inquiry sample, that's going to be some text, that's going to be some drawings. It's not something that you can just have processed by a computer in a matter of minutes.
Grading these lessons requires an actual human being who is familiar with the content.
In the current, you know, funding crisis in education, assessing inquiry and problem solving is problematic at this point. But that doesn't mean, therefore, that we shouldn't be doing it.
Many teachers in Oregon, including Mapleton High School science teacher Brian Buell, are taking that message to heart.
The way it's going to work is you're going to have about 15 minutes to go to your machine, put any final touches that you need to do on it.
Buell's freshmen are solving a self-generated problem using simple machines incorporated into a Rube Goldberg device. Isaac Christensen co-designed a device that would deposit a can into the recycling bin.
A guy pulling this string back here, and it pulls on this pulley, and then it pulls this wedge out from underneath that ball, and then it rolls all the way down, and then it hits this platform, which this tape is partially holding up so it won't already fall down. And then
after students got their devices in working order, they tested and filmed them before the entire class. It's quick, especially when the device doesn't work.
Reset it?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Let's try that.
It's okay.
Hey, we're gonna get it.
Eventually, every group achieves some level of success, and they convene to the school's computer lab to complete the project. Teacher Brian Buell.
Part of science inquiry is analysis, and so right now they're looking at their videotapes, their cameras, and thinking about how well their experiment worked in ways that they can prove it and make it better.
The concept of inquiry-based instruction isn't new. J. Richard Suchman coined the term way back in the 1960s, calling it the way people learn when they're left alone. Within the past decade, more and more teachers are being trained to use it specifically in the classroom. Because of the nature of science, teachers have been utilizing inquiry instruction in that subject for years. But as of 2003, Oregon State education standards included inquiry requirements in English language arts and social sciences as well. The Department of Education says as standards continue to evolve, inquiry is becoming more front and center. Despite this growing acceptance, there are still challenges, like budget issues slowing the adoption of new teaching materials. Tight budgets also mean current teachers have fewer professional development days built into their school year where they can learn how to use inquiry in the classroom. But Professor Jill Baxter says her student teachers at the U of O are seeing a change in Lane County.
For years, the students would come back to my class and say, "We never see anybody doing this stuff you're talking about." And they'd be so discouraged. But this year is the first year that I've had a number of students come to me and say, "This is so cool. What's going on here at the university is what I'm seeing out in my classroom."
This means K-12 students in Oregon aren't just being taught what to think. They're arguably being taught a much more important lesson, how to think critically and engage their world. For KLCC News, I'm Jess Burns.